The Gospel of Friday of the 8th week of Ordinary Time is Mark chapter 11, verses 11 to 26. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything, and since it was already late, went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went over to see if he could find anything to eat. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and on entering the temple area, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He did not permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples'? But you have made it a den of thieves." The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it, and were seeking a way to put him to death. Yet they feared him, because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus said to them in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive everyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, today we hear from Jesus about the cleansing of the temple, and this event is framed within the episode of the fig tree. We need to know that the fig tree is a symbol of Israel in the Old Testament. And so Jesus is giving the apostles a living parable. It's a symbolic action where this fig tree is not producing fruit. And also, we see that this event happened right after he enters Jerusalem triumphantly and just before his passion. So we are in the month of April, and every good Jew of that time knows that in April, figs do not produce fruit. It doesn't happen until June. But Jesus is hungry. So what does all this mean? Well, in the symbolic language, Israel, the fig tree, has not produced fruit for the Lord. And so the Lord is hungry for fruit. That means the Lord is hungry for his people to respond, because even though it is not normally time for fruit, the Word of God is able to produce fruit in us all the time. And so the Lord is disappointed with Israel, and the withering of the tree symbolizes the time of visitation, a time of judgment for the people of God. And so we go into the temple event, the temple area. We see that there is commercial activity going on in the temple, and this was necessary because the pilgrims needed to purchase unblemished animals or birds that were used for the temple sacrifice. And it had become a very lucrative business. And guess who was behind all this and making themselves rich? It was the priests of the temple. So they had a vested interest in this going on, and that's why they were so upset with Jesus when he tried to stop it, and they decided to kill him. Now, even though this commercial activity was necessary, the way it was being carried out was very wrong, because it was happening inside the temple area, and it had turned the temple, instead of being a place of sacred worship and attentiveness to the Lord, it was a place of commerce. And the Lord has this great zeal for the temple because he wants people to be attentive to the Father. And this is what he came for, so that people may come to know the Father whom he comes to reveal. And so he stops this commerce that is going on. Some people sometimes have fantasies of people being, of Jesus being violent, but we don't see Jesus striking anybody or hurting anybody. He does cast out all that activity, overturns the tables and the seats where the merchants were carrying out this business. This was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah. The Lord would gather all the nations to worship in Jerusalem, and there shall no longer be any merchant in the house of the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 14:21. So again, good Jews that knew their scriptures would know Jesus is fulfilling a prophecy. And this means the time of the Lord has come. The Messianic King is here. And also, doing what Jesus did was a royal prerogative. We see kings of Judah, like Hezekiah and Josiah, who also cleansed the temple in their time. So Jesus has this zeal for the temple. He says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." For all peoples, not just for the Jews. But how are all people going to believe if we give such a bad example? And the same thing is true today. God wants everyone to be part of the church, to belong, to be church. But as we Catholics are not giving a good example, how are people going to believe that the fullness is found in the Catholic Church? And this is why the Lord is so grieved, because we turn his church or his temple into a den of thieves, as Jeremiah also spoke about in Jeremiah 7, verses 9 to 11. The dishonesty, the corruption, the lack of faith is a scandal. And Jeremiah had prophesied that the temple of his time was going to be destroyed And indeed it happened in the year 587 before Christ. Now Jesus is giving a similar warning for his times, and it also comes to pass in the year 40 of our era, when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. So we have to take very seriously the prophetic warnings. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the end of the world, but it can be the end of the world as we know it. Indeed, with the devastation of the temple in the year 40, the Jewish religion, as it was known until then, ceased to exist. And Judaism no longer had a temple, which was central for their faith. And so, in our times too, we have to be prepared for the Lord to cleanse us, to purify us. And that begins with each one of us, because we are the temple of God, each one of us. And the Lord wants to cast out, to throw out everything that is not supposed to be there. We have to turn to the Lord. We have to again become people who are sacred. Our thoughts, our attitudes, our thinking can have been contaminated by the world. And instead of us converting the world is converting us. Now, we see in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, 3, that Christ comes as a judge to the local churches, threatening to remove the lampstand of those that do not repent and bear good fruit. So what happened then is also a warning for today. Finally, the Lord comes back to Bethesda, where he was staying. You know, that's the house of Martha and Mary, and where the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus had taken place. And so on the way back to Bethesda, Peter notices that the fig tree has indeed withered. And the Lord then speaks about the importance of faith. You know, something marvelous will take place that will go beyond the temple of Jerusalem. And that for a Jew is unimaginable. What could be greater than the temple of Jerusalem? Well, Ezekiel 47 prophesied in a vision a new temple from which flowed a river with trees along its banks bearing fruit all year around. You see, the fig tree that withered only produced fruit in June, but Ezekiel saw trees that will bear fruit all year around. And indeed, we as Catholics should bear fruit all through the year. Also in Ezekiel 17, we read, "Make the withered tree bloom." God can do anything. Even people who are dead, he can bring back to life. So then the Lord says that if we have faith, we could even move mountains. That seems totally impossible to us. But this is not an invitation to test God, asking for spectacular phenomena to happen, but rather is to have an unconditional faith that what God has called us to do, he will do through us. That doesn't mean then that we ask anything and see if it happens or not, but rather that we are so in tune with the will of God that we believe it and we can then carry it out. Our prayers have to become aligned with what God's will is, what God desires for us. That means that our prayers must be done in the name of Jesus, having come to know what is it that he wants in our lives. You know, you look at the lives of the saints, how they suffered, how they went through all kinds of obstacles and persecution. But they believed that God will fulfill his plan for their lives. And that are the mountains that have to be moved. Anything that blocks God's way in our lives for his will to be done. Dear family, let us then open up to faith. God is doing great things. We may see great tribulations. We can see devastation. But God is going to do something even greater. God bless you.